The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me, I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you. And they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. Now I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. We're in the very heart of the Novena to the Holy Spirit in preparation for Pentecost Sunday that we celebrate this Sunday, which is actually the birthday of the Church. The birthday of the Church. Romans chapter 8, St. Paul says, moved by the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. We had to kind of summarize the readings, the opening prayer, gospel, even St. Paul's message today, is the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in all times. St. Paul is speaking about the fact that he's heading toward Jerusalem, then he's going to end up in Rome where he'll be eventually beheaded. But he's going from one jail to another. But he's still at peace because he knows that the Holy Spirit is with him. So we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit can teach us to pray. So there's a prayer we should say often. Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. That's a good prayer. Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. Very good prayer. Having said that, Who should we pray for? We should actually pray for everybody. When we're doing the office of readings today, some of you do the office readings for us, where Father Craig was reading the letter of St. John, in which he says that God is love, but God is invisible. He says, he who loves God must love his brother. So when he was reading that, and then we had a moment of silence before responding with responsory, I was praying for all the members of ISIS. Because they apparently hate a lot of people. We're supposed to pray for our enemies, right? That was a thought that surged within me, and I prayed it with a lot of fervor. Probably, for most of us, the last group of people we want to pray for is them. Because of them wreaking havoc, they think that they're maybe doing something great for Allah by killing innocent people, cutting heads off. No? Even in the Philippines, they've kidnapped a priest and they're threatening to cut his head off, right? We're praying for that priest. So I think that we have to think about all the people we should pray for. Maybe pray for people that we least think that we should pray for, and it's these individuals who believe that it's a good thing to kill Christians. Some of them think that the best Christian is the dead Christian, right? But who should we pray for most? We should pray for them, but there's other categories of people that we should pray for. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, the first person that we should pray for is ourself. I'm reading your mind. You're saying, that Thomas Aquinas, usually Father Broome speaks about Thomas Aquinas, but that sounds somewhat egotistic. When I get to heaven, I like to talk to Thomas Aquinas about that one idea. But he's right. You know why? Above and beyond praying for our family members, and praying for ISIS, and praying for the president, and praying for world peace, our primary responsibility is to get our souls into heaven. So maybe some of you people don't pray for yourself. You really should start today. So we don't pray for ourselves, we're going to fall into sin, and probably pretty quickly. So praying for ourselves and for our own salvation is the first on the list. Then there should be a hierarchy of persons that we should pray for. How many people here are married? Should you pray first for your husband or for your children? I think there's varied opinions here. First pray for Daniel, for your husband. Yeah. Most people don't even think about that. Oh, no, I'm going to pray for my kids, the husband. Que vaya freer churros, as they say in Argentina. Huh? No. husband. You want to pray you get your husband into heaven. Or at least purgatory, right? Then you pray for your children. Yes. Which one should you pray for first? Pray for all of them. Okay? That you pray for all of them. But it might depend upon the week. You see that one is really misbehaving, maybe pray more for that one. Pray for one that's just filled with fear, pray for that one. Pray for one that's really maybe falling, declining in his or her faith, pray for that one. But you have to pray for your family members, husband, children first. Then after that, is your mother and father living? Pray for them. Do any of you have any brothers and sisters? I've got tons of them. Got to pray for them. Do you have any uncles and aunts? Pray for them. One of my last uncles died a couple weeks ago, my mom's older brother. Pray for my Uncle Jack, if you could say a prayer for him today. Pray for him. How about should we pray for any people in the church that are present right now? Some of you are thinking, they're already too holy. I don't have to pray for them, huh? It's not true. We're all saints. We're all sinners, right? So our prayer should be a Catholic prayer. You know what Catholic means? Comes from Greek, kata holos, which means universal, all-encompassing. Should we pray for people that we'll never see or meet until the judgment day? Yes? Do you know that most people in the world, more than 99.99% of the people in the world, we're never going to meet. Not even once. But we should pray for those people too. What is it, about 7.2 billion people that live today? Something like that. 7 plus billion people. 1.2 billion Catholics, something like that. All those people that are living on planet Earth today, we should pray for. But let me tell you a very important group of people we should pray for. People that are dying. People that are dying. Very, very, very important. Yesterday I was speaking with my mom on the phone, and she said that when her brother was dying, his wife was praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for him. I like that, don't you? I like that. Because the promise of St. Faustine is someone's praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, when someone's dying, that person's going to be saved. So if you know anyone that's dying, make sure you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And also your parents. Probably your children are going to outlive you. We can never tell. But probably your children are going to outlive you. Tell your children to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy when you're dying. Even tell them today. Maybe when you're having your tacos later on. Remember what Father said, pray for me. Pray for me when I'm dying. So what is of utmost importance is prayer. I've tried to give you a very Catholic perspective of prayer. Starting off with a group that probably shocked you. I think we should pray for ISIS, that they will experience God's mercy. In some way, the Holy Spirit enlightened them to understand that they should live out the letters of St. John, which are, we're supposed to love all people, not just Muslims or terrorists or people that are in this group, we're called to love everybody. That's why Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Let's turn to the Blessed Mother, who is the universal mother of all people. Mary's the mother of all, even though people don't even acknowledge her. Mary's the mother of all. So as we get close to Pentecost, in which Mary was in the cenacle praying fervently for the coming of the Holy Spirit, let's ask Mary to pray for us, to teach us how to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Amen.